Matthew chapter 7. Sometimes, as the pastor here, I'm excited. I love to see what's going on. And then there's other times, like just about 5 minutes ago, where I know God was knocking some of you men's hearts straight down, and you just stay seated. You won't move. There's some men in here that are struggling with some real stuff, and I'm not trying to just dislocate you from the women in here, but I've been preaching to men since I've been called to preach, and God was, I could just feel Him drawing on some men's lives in here that are struggling. Maybe it's a financial thing, maybe it's a marriage thing, maybe it's just a life thing, maybe it's a struggle in your health, maybe it's something that's going on that you ain't got the answers for, but the problem is, when God just straight out deals with you, you sit there instead of coming and doing business with Him. And that, as a pastor, I think, what are you afraid? Are you afraid you're going to wreck the service? Well, I'll just be honest with you, you wreck the service when you don't be obedient to God. That's what wrecks the service. Now, I'm going to preach, and it's going to be right on the same line, so don't miss this opportunity. And if you're a woman here this morning, you're thinking, well, he's going to preach just to the men. I'm not. Matthew 27, verse 1. I'm going to try. Our destination is verse 24. Just like the GPS, our coordinates, we're leaving verse 1, and we're going to try to get to verse 24. That's our end of this destination. That way, you won't have to worry today about when we're done, all right? I'm not being a smart aleck this morning. I know when God's moving when we should. Amen? When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. Remember that verse. And when they had bound Him and they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, then I want to stop right there. Every person in this room, at one point in your life or another, you're going to have Jesus sit right in front of you. He's going to be pressed in front of you. He's going to be set in front of you. And you're going to make a decision. You're going to accept Him. You're going to reject Him. And by the grace of God, it happens multiple times. But for truth, I know it's happening this time for you. How we are sometimes as people, we think, what about the people in Africa and South Africa and Australia, and how about the indigenous tribe that's not reached with the gospel? I don't know. But I do know this. He's coming after you today. Jesus is going to be set in front of you today, and I don't know what's going to happen to the person in Australia or that indigenous tribe that we don't know about, but I would say this, they would probably turn to Him after one time instead of 1,000. If they heard the good news once, they'd be interested, intrigued, and repentant. But here we sit again. You've got all the things that you ever wanted, and God's been set. Pontius Pilate was the governor. He had a great title and a great seat and a great house and a great position. He had a little power and a little control, just like some of us think we do. And he had heard about Jesus. Amen? He had heard about Him, but he had never had to deal with Him. We've all heard about Him, but have you dealt with Him? Well, you're going to deal with Him today. They brought Jesus and they sat Him down in Pontius Pilate, the governor, and He's got to deal with Jesus, whether if He planned on it or not. And so do you. And so do I. I'm glad when Jesus was finally thrust in front of me and I had to make a decision, I made the right one. To accept Him. Not to reject Him again. Do you know there's only two things you can do with Jesus? You can accept Him, and if you don't accept Him, you have to totally reject Him. Because God is no halfway God. He don't halfway save anybody. He don't halfway get into your life. He don't take over just a little part of it. He don't just give you assurance that you're going to heaven. He gives you assurance of going to heaven, and then He changes your whole life. Here's Pontius Pilate. Let's take a break, can we, from Pontius, just for the message for a minute? Check this out. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I've sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. It cracks me up. I don't like religion. I get mad when I think about it. That's why I do some of the stuff I do. That's why we have impromptu business meetings and have people join at the drop of a hat. You know why? Because there is no ritual. There is no way to do things. There's only, we're doing the right thing or we're doing the wrong thing. Amen? I want you to see this. Listen, they brought Judas. Judas was repentant, but he wasn't repentant to God. He was a condemned man because he never trusted in Jesus. He didn't repent of his sins from Jesus. He repented of the outcome of his decisions. I'm preaching to somebody. You're repentant sometimes, but not because you're repentant to Christ, because you don't like the outcome of what your choices have cost you. He brought the money back. God, help me preach! He brought the thing that he wanted back. He brought the thing that he wanted more than God back. I've been there. The devil tempts you in every way possible, makes things look so good, makes them taste so good, make them feel so good. But yet, when you're done with them and he's done with you and you've rejected God, you would throw them down and throw them away. The thing that the devil enticed Judas with to betray Christ, he ends up throwing on the ground. It's useless to him. Think about that. That's how the devil works. Everything he promises you ends up usually in the garbage. Usually ends up in the dumpster. Most people's dreams and aspirations one day end up at the landfill. Amen? But I love this part. Judas brings back the money and throws it down. And listen to these religious folks. We can't put this money in the treasury. It betrayed innocent blood. Let's build a graveyard with it. God, religious people stink. They do. They have these ideas. Let's betray God. Let's crucify God. Let's get rid of God. But yet the money that we use to do it, we can't put that in our treasury. That would be wrong. Golly, when you get around people like that, it just makes your head explode. You're like, what? You don't understand that you just betrayed God? Go ahead and spend the money. It don't matter. We do dumb stuff, don't we? When we're thinking we're godly and righteous without Christ, you do dumb stuff when there's no Christ in your religion. When there's no Christ in it, you do weird things. When Christ is in it, you do godly things. I love this story. I love it. Get down to verse 10. No, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, thou... What he's saying right there, what you're saying is true. Yeah, you said it. You know what? Nobody had to tell Pontius Pilate that he was the king of the Jews. And nobody had to tell you either. Have you ever wrestled with God? I did. I've wrestled with God. I even at one point in my life said there wasn't one. And I said certain dumb things. What about the people in Africa? What about the people in Egypt? What about the people over here? And you know what the biggest problem was? God designed us and made us that we're missing something when we were born. See, He is the maker of every person. He is the maker of you. He's the designer of you. He knows you better than anybody. And when He created you in His image. And that way, man, I'm really preaching, you just don't know it. What happens is when you get in the presence of God, you can argue with a man, but you can't argue with yourself. I remember making great arguments of why God wasn't this, but on the inside of my mind, He was whooping me. Because I knew who He was, even when I was a little bitty baby kid. I knew. It's real. He's real. He's real, and I'm fighting against Him because He's so real, I have to fight against Him or I have to surrender to Him. Some of y'all are having your biggest problems with God because you know He's real and you just keep fighting against Him. Pontius Pilate said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus looks right back at him and says, "You said it." And if you don't like my vagueness, I'll be kind of straightforward with you. You know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. You've either kept rejecting Him or you've accepted Him. Or you're keeping on rejecting Him even though you know it on the inside of who you are. And you have to fight against that with every fiber of who you are, and it really stinks. Because life is hard when you're wrestling against the One who made it. And when He was accused of the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto Him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee?" And He answered him, "Not a word, never a word." Insomuch the governor marveled great. Jesus is cool, ain't He? Jesus didn't come to the governor's seat to be pardoned. He came to be punished for your sins and mine. But He didn't have to make an argument. I'm God. He stood there and they accused Him of being blasphemous. They accused Him of working on the Lord's day, of healing people of their sickness on the Lord's day, to healing the lame on the Lord's day, to healing the blind on the Lord's day. Could you imagine? Golly bum, it's a sickness. Here's Jesus standing up there and they're accusing Him. Remember when you healed that one guy? Remember that blind guy you touched on the Sabbath? It stinks to accuse Jesus of doing good, great stuff, ain't it? Remember when you took that one guy who was paralyzed his whole life and you told him to get up on the Sabbath day and carry his bed? Treachery. It's terrible what I've done. Ain't that kind of where we're at today in this country? Ain't that kind of where we are as an American culture? We're all upset. We're all mad. We'll twirl the frame. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And then there's Jesus standing right there. Well, I had a place in your government. I had a place in your schools. I had a place in your community. But you've been tearing me down and tearing me out and ejecting me of every one of those places. And now you're wondering why those places are chaotic, because I'm not there. I'm not welcome. We want to pray afterwards, but not before. We want to get together and have a group prayer and vigil, but we won't have a group prayer prior to. See, you're on a rant. You're on a soapbox. No, I just know this. If God's in it, there's less trouble. Have you ever noticed we're trying to rip the Ten Commandments out of everywhere? Let me just give you one. Would it hurt your feelings if I just gave you one? Thou shalt not kill. So what would be any good for it to be sitting up there? It'd be hard to walk by it every day and read it and say, "Well, you know what? God really don't want us to kill each other." But when it's removed, and when it's rejected, and God's law, see, God's law is not bad law. It's a good law. I'll give you another. And I know it hurts everybody, but I'll just give you another. Love others as you love yourself. Well, it's hard for me to do anything against you if I'm loving you like I should be loving myself. Amen? You say it. He's marveling. Some of y'all, you rejected God for a long time, but you're always marveling at how He keeps loving you. At how He keeps giving you peace, and He keeps giving you mercy, and He keeps bringing hard you've rejected Him. He keeps wearing you out with His love. Ain't that how it... Religious people don't. Religious things don't. Religious churches don't. And Jesus does, don't He? As messed up as you are, God keeps loving you. Amen? Kept loving you. Look at this. Now at the feast of the governors, He wanted to release the people of prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Listen, hey, he's trying to make a deal. Has anybody ever tried to make a deal with God? You better not lie in the house of God, amen. Have you ever tried to make a deal with God? I'll do better, God. I'll quit having sex outside of marriage, God. Hey, woke everybody up, good. God, let's make a deal. I'll stop telling lies. And you be good to me. Hey, God, I'll go to church if you'll just overlook all the sin in my life and all the consequences, more or less. God, I'll pray and talk to you if you'll just overlook everything. Golly, I must be... You know what? Some preachers like amens. I'm kind of digging this silence myself. Pontius Pilate's a lot like us. We try to make deals with God. We try to broker with God. Hey, God, instead of dealing with Jesus and wrecking my life, I know what I'll do. I'll give them Barabbas. No way they'll choose Barabbas over Jesus. They'll set Jesus free, and I'll never have to deal with him. Some of you are thinking this, if I could just make it through this church service, I won't ever have to deal with him again. Wrong. He'll go with you. He'll show up at your workplace, in your home, around your friends. Hey. How do you know, preacher? How do you know? He got me. He got me in a single wide trailer and shopper. I thought I'd run. But I found out running from God's like playing hide and seek with air. He's everywhere. Amen? You just think you're going to get out of this service. You might. But He'll go after you. He'll love you again. Even though you make a deal. God, if you let me out here, I'll do better. He don't want you to do better. Oh, some of you parents, some of you older folk in here said, wait a minute, God does want you to do better. He don't want you to do better. What He wants is your belief in your faith on the inside of you and make you better. Because you can't do enough better for Jesus. I tried. You know how many deals I made with God in the private? You know how many, you know how many deals I made with God to get me out of trouble? While I was running down the road, while I was drunk, or while I was high, while I was in a fight, while I was running for my life. You know how many times I'd pull over and say, oh, God, help me. I need you to break through right here and do something big for me, God. If you're real, God, help me out. I'm real. I'm just not in the deal-making business. Amen? Y'all ain't liking this, but God is. Listen to this. He, Barabbas. Verse 18 says, For he knew that their envy that they had delivered him. When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. 19 was a very tough place for me. God wrecked this verse for me about 8 o'clock this morning. Because I had it planned out as how I was going to preach it. And God said, nope, that ain't how you're going to preach it. This is how it is. You ready? All you men, take a break. Women, here we come. Here we come. I want you to hear me and I want you to see this. She got good advice from God, but she gave bad advice to her husband. God woke her up or gave her a dream in the middle of the night about who He was. I believe it shook her to the core, like some of you ladies and some of you have been shook to the core. But it scared you of what it could happen to your family if the men in your home really become godly. Because maybe your lives won't be as secure as they were before. Yeah, I must be on the right lane. It's quiet. I'm teetering on dangerous ground. I'm all right. See, she came down and she said, "Honey." See, can I preach to you wives for a second? You have the ability to make a man or kill a man. You can encourage him or you can crush him. What are you doing? Because sometimes you're the only voice that he's going to hear, he's going to let resonate. Because his boss is telling him one thing, his friends are telling him another thing, and all the world's telling him he's a failure or he's doing great, whatever. But guess what he needs from you? You know what he needs from you? Validation. You know what he needs for you? He needs to hear from your voice every once in a while, "You're a good man. Amen. I love you, and I'll love you till the day you die because you're a good man." Amen? We'll almost tear down a wall if you do something like that. And I know we're not always going to do perfect. We're not going to do right. But guess what? She had an opportunity. She got down there in his ear. She goes, "Listen, honey, God, listen. I had a dream about this man last night." Here's where it got bad. Don't have anything to do with him. Bad advice. Bad advice. Some of us are petrified of what would happen if our husband really sold out to Jesus. No, I'm not talking about going to church. "Oh, I want him to come to church. Man, I could escape church. I don't want him to come to church. I want the church to get in him. I want him to be a radically different human being, even if it scares the daylights out of me." I remember when I first got saved, my wife had heard every speech that I had. I could tell her every speech. "I'm going to be better. Don't worry. I'm going to be good. Oh, God, I love you." You know what I told her when I got saved? Watch. Something's got on the inside of me. And I'm a different man now. But I can't tell you. I'm just going to have to show you. And she probably should have knew then there was something up, because I wasn't telling her how great I was going to be. I was telling her there's something on the inside of me that's totally different now. So stop telling your husband or your boyfriend to not have anything to do with Jesus. If you want the greatest love relationship you've ever had in your life, lean over, get in his ear and say, "Take everything you can from him. I don't care if it wrecks our life and my security and what I consider being taken care of. Because if you get lined up with God and I get lined up with you, then there is nothing that we can't do." Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with this Jesus?" Verse 22, which is called Christ. They said to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil have he done?" And they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Here's where we're trying to get to. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it." No, he's not. No, he's not. And neither are you. I seen something happen here a couple of weeks ago. It sparked something. I've seen it before. This is one of the reasons I want to stop in verse 24. God is not pleased with ritual. He's not. You can come and get on this altar and pray all kinds of prayers and make all kinds of gestures. You can hold your hands out. You can hold your hands up. You can hold your hands down. I knew a man one time, he told me, he said, on the way to work, every day on the way to work, I stop in front of every church, get on my hands and knees and pray. I said, man, that's awesome. But why hasn't it changed your vocabulary? Why hasn't it changed your drug addiction? Why hasn't it changed your relationships? You in the heat seat looking good. Who do you think you are? I said, I'm just asking you. Do you think God was at every church waiting for you to come to pray? Because the God you are praying to doesn't want, he's not at the church. He's in the church. He's in us. And the good news is you won't have to stop in front of any of those churches anymore. You can stop anywhere you want to and talk to them. But the God I serve, but the God I know, he changes everything. You can do drugs again. You'll be miserable if you're saved. Yeah, I wish. Amen, preacher. You can, but you'll be miserable if you're saved. Everybody else will be having a time of their life, and you'll be sitting there going, man, this is awful. You can lie and be saved, but oh man, the conscience. Oh, the conscience will wear you out. It'll drive you crazy, and you'll start confessing things that really don't matter to most people. I took that bonus check that I got. I didn't deserve the time. I clocked in and I didn't make that time. That wasn't my time. And the boss is sitting there looking at you like, that's like $5. I know, but I can't steal from you. Amen? Stuff like that. Yeah, you can have an affair, cheat on your wife, cheat on your husband, cheat on everything. But if you're saved, you'll be miserable until you make it right. You'll be miserable. You can murmur and talk about people behind their backs if you want to. You can tell people all kinds of stuff. You can if you want to. But if you're saved, you'll be miserable until you make it right. Well, I'd like to go a little step further with that. See, how do you make it right? Well, you can come and confess God that you talk about people, murmur and complain about them. Or you can go grab them by the arm and say, hey, can we go to the altar and pray? Because I need to get forgiveness from God and you. Never mind. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you did that, we'd have revival here. And the strongholds of the devil would break down in this church and we'd have a move of God like you've never seen before. Because it's our pride that would get in the way of us going to somebody else and say, I've been talking about you and saying stuff about you, and I've been hating you, and I'm sorry because I'm hating somebody that I should be loving. God does not honor your rituals. You can come here and you can do all kinds of stuff. What God honors is when we believe out of our heart that He is the Son of God and He is the Lord of our lives. And we repent from our wicked ways and we turn to Him for everything. That's what God honors. And then He'll be pleased with your rituals. Then He'll be pleased with your prayers. Then He'll be pleased with when you raise your hands or when you don't. Then He'll be praised of when you show up to prayer room. Then He'll be pleased when you show up to Sunday school. Then He'll be pleased when you show up to church. Then He'll be pleased when you sing your songs. Then He'll be pleased when you preach His Word. He's not pleased by you. He's pleased by your belief in Him. As you stand, as they come get a song of invitation. What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? Let me ask you a simple question. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you accepted Christ or are you still rejecting Christ? And you're the only one that really knows that to be true this morning. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. And I encourage you, if you're standing beside somebody this morning and you're saved and you don't know if they are, say a little prayer like this. Have everything to do with Jesus this morning. Don't turn Him away. Even if you're afraid of what would happen if that person to your left or that person to your right would sell out and give everything to Christ. Because you're afraid of what they might not do anymore. They might not do the things that you like anymore because they'll get busy doing the things that God likes. Press on.